السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، اللهم علمنا ينفعنا وانفعنا ما علمتنا وزد علما يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نعوذ من علم لا ينفع، ومن قلب لا يخشع، ومن نفس لا تشبع، ومن دعوة لا تستجاب. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل. Let's start with saying Salat Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Every one of you should say Salat just 10 times. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. Can you say it? طيب. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. 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 اللهم صل على محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل 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 محمد. We start this session by sending salat on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by doing that, every one of us has 100 salat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every one of us who say 10 times salat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have 100 salat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you have get nothing from this session except this 10 hasanat, 100 hasanat, you have a lot. You achieve something. And we start with Salatul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he is the light for us. Allah Jalla Jalla sent him as Nur. And that light which is guiding us in our life. And our topic today, which is living happy with our parents, or in Islamic terminology we call it Bir al-Walidain. Bir al-Walidain. Which we'll speak about the meaning of Bir al-Walidain. And Bir al-Walidain, there is about 8 ayat in the Quran in this topic, 9 hadith or about 32 hadith, and about 9 from Athar of Sahaba Radhiyallahu Anhum. I will start first by defining what is birr. What do you mean by birr? Anyone know the birr? What's birr? Someone called abrar. Is there an abrar here? You have, okay, we have abrar here. That's plural of bar. Abrar. And Allah says in the Quran, Inna al-abrara lafi na'im. What's the meaning of birr or bar? Anyone knows? Okay. The word bir has 4 meanings. In Arabic, bir have 4 meanings, as they said in literal meaning. One of those meanings is means sidq, truthfulness, and sincerity. That's one meaning of bir or bar. 2, when you imitate a voice, that's also from bir. 3, it is the opposite of sea. Land is bar, and sea is bahr. And fourth is tree, a plant called bar also. What we are here about, the meaning which related to Birudin, sidq. Sidq, which means sincerity, which means to be truthful in your love. So that's the meaning of bar. And it came from barara in Arabic. Ba-ra and ra. Barara. They say fulan, bar. That means he's truthful. Barun fi muhabbati. He is truth or sincere in his love to Allah or to his parents. And it is also, we say that, describing that, the opposite of being disobedient, disrespect. Uquq is disrespect. Uquq al-walidain, which is a major sin from the kabair, major sin, is to be disrespect to your parents. When Allah said, إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْبَرُّ الرَّحِيمُ Surah Al-Tur, إِنَّهُ الْبَرُّ الرَّحِيمُ Again, this is one of Allah's names, Al-Barr. What that means? It means that Allah is the one who is kind and loving His ibad. Allah loves us as ibad. That's where Allah says, إِنَّهُ الْبَرُّ Al-Barr. That's one of His asma al-husna. And see that العطوف على عباده في بره وإحسانه ولطفه. Allah is kind, loving us, and He provides us with all our needs. That is what we go to Allah's name, the meaning of birr. When you come for birr al-walidain in our terminology, we are talking about it in today's lecture, it is to be kind to your parents, respectful, love them, and give them companionship when they need that. When it comes to the Quran, you find that there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the birr of walidain with tawheed. Tawheed is oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tawheed is to worship Allah sincerely. That is tawheed. Right? And opposite tawheed is shirk. To associate with Allah other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many ayahs said that وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. This is Surah Al-Isra 17, ayah 23 and 24. Here Allah says وَقَضَى وَسْقَضَى. Qadi is the judge. Qadi is the judge who makes rules. When Allah said, Qadi Rabbuka, Allah has ruled. Make a hukum. Just like salat. Like fasting, prayer, all those are rule from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this ayah, Allah said, Allah has command us. Wa qadi Rabbuka, Allah ta'budu illa ya. You worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's tawheed. And without that, we are not Muslims. If we associate with Allah anything else, how dear he or she be to us? In real love to the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's shirk. We love our parents, we love our brothers, our sisters, our wives, our children. But that's different kind of love than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah that you love things from all your heart, and you give everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the love to Allah and love to Allah. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah make it once that his ibadah tawheed. Two, to do ihsan to your parents. To be kind to your parents. To be respectful to your parents. SubhanAllah. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting these parents in that status? Why Allah Jalla Jalal, who is the Khaliq, is the Raziq, he is the one whom we all fear because of him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the air we breathe is gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The water we drink from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The food we eat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The eyes through which we see from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ears we hear with it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our parents, gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So that one who can give us everything, we should worship him. Absolutely, definitely. But how come Allah SWT put that وَبِلْ وَالِسَنَتْ with his ibadah tawheed? Next is walidain. It's shown us that how this matter is so serious. It's not a joke, it's not fun. If someone denies salat, he's not or she's not Muslim or Muslima. If someone denies even like a matter being commanded by Allah or His Rasul, he or she is not a Muslim. Because Allah is the one who is Khaliq and we should obey Him. But here Allah said that with that ibadah to Allah, next step that وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Be kind do ihsan to your friend. Not hasan. Hasan is good. Ihsan the best. Because there's hasan, good. Ihsan, the best or the perfect thing that you do to your parents or treat your parents. The reason here is that Allah is the Khaliq who created everyone of us. Our parents are the reason why we're here. If not my dad and mom, I'd not be here. If not my mom was cleaning me, changing my diaper, I don't have a diaper those days, and gave me, breastfeed me, and take care of me, would not be alive. There are some people who have their baby and they throw them in the trash or throw them in the bathroom and they go. It happens. It happened here. It happened in some countries also. That's the most cruel act. And that child, if no one pick him, he'll die. Right? So imagine that your parents who take care of you when you cannot do anything for yourself. You cannot feed yourself. You cannot drink. You cannot even... So someone there feed you, clean you, wash you, and it became a human being who can say yes and no. And first he said, no fair. That's what we say to our parents. Right? So here, that's why we see Allah is the one who gives us everything. And we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also be, as we see the second ayah, that the ibadah to Allah jalla jalalu, period. No one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the love and respect to our parents, and it is from Allah who is above everyone. He is commanding us that, you my ibad, if you want to worship me, be good Muslim, be kind, be respectful, be loving to your parents. Because they are the reason you are here, because I cannot reward my parents. So in hadith, no one can pay back his parents what they did to him. No one. As Sahab said, Rasulullah was from Yemen. Between Yemen and Mecca, about 700-800 miles. He said, I carried my mom from Yemen. And I did Hajj, did Tawaf, was carrying her, we did Sa'i, carrying her. I took her to Mina, to Arafat, we came back. Did I pay her back, her dues? Imagine now, my dad and my mom cannot walk, very old, and they don't have this, what we have today, wheelchairs. So he's carrying his mom on his back. Okay? And traveling all the way from Yemen, mountains, up and downs, no street, nothing there, day and night, and he can have to fulfill the ibad of Hajj. It's not easy, it's very hard. Right? And now he's asking Rasulullah, did I pay her back? Did I khalas, finish my job towards my mom? What does Rasulullah say? I see someone like that. So he said, no. He said, how come you're Rasulullah? He asked the question. How come you're Rasulullah? And Rasulullah said that she carried you 9 months in her stomach. 9 months. And she was so worried about you that if you, and it happened to you, she would be worried crying for you. And another 2 years, she was carrying you, washing you, cleaning you, feeding you. That's how we say, Prophet Hussein, saying, MashaAllah, this beautiful girl here, a daughter here. Yeah? That's what our parents do. Here you're carrying her as, yes, I'm doing that, Ya Allah, I'm doing that, Rasulullah. But that's different between they carrying us and we carrying them. He said, even not one movement in her womb. And when child is about 8 months, 9 months, 7 months, he starts kicking mommy in her tummy. You can see, you can put your hand and you can feel that kicking. And mom cannot sleep at night because you're sleeping, this guy won't kick her and she woke up. It happens. And that's what Allah in the Quran was saying, that insana biwalidayhi. حملته أمه كرها على وضعت كرها وحمله وفصاله 30 شهرا حتى إذا بلغ أشده وبلغ 40 سنة قال رب وزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. This is another surah, surah Al-Ahqaf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing why man is so important, and it is even before that, in loving and obeying them. He said, we, and wasiyya here is different than qada, an amr. Wasiyya is to advise someone, just like take care of your brother. You said the other brother, when you're living, your mom said that, take care of your younger brother, because he needs help. He needs someone to abuse him. Yeah? That's wasiyya advice. Allah has given us wasiyya. Wasayna al-insana. He didn't say the Muslim or the mu'mineen. Insan is for everyone. Wasayna al-mu'mineen, the believers. So this is for every human being. Whether Muslim, Jew, Christian, Hindu, as parents, they deserve that respect for their parents. إحسانا. Again, Allah is the same word. وبالوالدين إحسانا هي وصينا الإنسان بوالدين إحسانا. We advise him, instruct the إنسان to do إحسان to his parents. And Allah said, why? He said, حملته أمه وكرها وضعته كرها. She carried him during pregnancy with all difficulties. كرها not hating it. كرها difficult. Hardship. وضعته قرآن and she gave birth again in all difficulties. Go to labor, go to hospital, sometimes they open their stomach to get the baby out. Because C-section, they do that. It's not easy. It's not easy. Just imagine that they open your hand, you have something here, they open your hand, or they open your finger here because there's something straight here, they open and take that out. For 2 days you cannot move your hands. 3 days, maybe a week. And it's hurt. This comes with your stomach, and they take it out from your tummy. We all have been like that. Every one of us. Everyone. Except Adam and Hawa. Everyone after that come from a mother. Allah said, وَضَعْتُكُمْ وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ 30 شَهْرًا Caring. And after that, until he reached his strength, being independent, eating, 30 months. Another I say that pregnancy 9 months, so at least they say that breastfeeding 2 years for the child to be strong, to be independent, and this is the best thing to the child. Now we are all being fed by Similac and Isomil and all these things. Nothing replaces mother's milk. Nothing. And it's not only the milk. When the mom carries the baby and holds him to her chest, that is love. The baby hears her heart beating. And he smelled his mom. He became attached to his mom. Small infant. Just a week, 2 weeks. One day, he knows his mom. And smelled his mom. When he is in the tub here, he can hear her heart. And that's the link between us and our mothers. Which is a special relation. And whatever we do to our parents, we cannot say thank you enough to our parents. Allah said that حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ 40 عَامًا أو 40 سَنَةً قَالَ رَبَّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرْ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ. When he reached his strength, and Allah mentioned here 40 years. They said 40 years is the top strength of human being. And he reached not only adult, that mentally, spiritually, physically, that is the age that where we are full in our own faculties. Here, that can be a reason for that I don't need anyone. The mentality here, when I'm strong, I have wealth, I have money, I have everything, I don't need my parents. Who are my parents? I don't need them. Allah said that, remember that and say, Ya Allah, help me to be grateful, to be thankful to my parents. أوزعني, that means help me, give me that support. أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي. يا الله, make me grateful to the ni'mah, to the favor you have given me. First, my deen, iman, and to that my parents who raised me. Make me shakir, so I can be thankful to Allah, to you, and to my parents. And أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا. That's the key. The key is عمل صالح. What عمل? Anyone know the meaning of عمل? عمل. Huh? Yes, say. عمل is action. Is work. ماذا تعمل? What do you do? عمل طبيب. عمل مهندس. عمل مزارع. I'm a physician, I'm an engineer, I'm a farmer. That's your عمل. But here, that means every one of us have to do something to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, ya Allah, help me to do عمل صالح. أن أعمل صالحا. Not any عمل. أن أعمل صالحا. صالح is your عبادة, your صدقة, your charity, your kindness, your gentleness. All those are عمل. Act. When you are kind, when you respect to your parents, to elder people, to your brothers, to your fellow human being, this is عمل. So we ask Allah, Ya Allah, help me to do good deeds. And good deeds, not only my salat, my siyam, that's one aspect, it's very important as a Muslim, but every act as a Muslim should be act of ibadah and goodness. So when you find something in the masjid, a trash thrown here, and you pick it, this is amal salih, this is sadaqah for you, a charity. And be rewarded. When you someone need help and you help him or her, that's amal salih, that's charity. You get ajr. So here, say that help me to do good deeds and be thankful for your favors. Then, Ya Allah, waslih li fi dhurriyyati. When you are 40 years, most of us, alhamdulillah, be married and have children. Now we are remembering our children. We are praying for them. See the connection, the ayah? When you reach that age, now you are independent, you have your business, you have your job, you are married, you have children now, then you remember your parents, and you can worry about your own children, what happened to them. And no one knows real parenthood until he or she have her own child. Then you remember, and then you feel what your parents have gone through it, then you will be more appreciating and thankful to your parents. Because now you have something that in your hand, and you know how difficult it is for the mother when she gets pregnancy and goes through difficulties, and for the father who walk out at night, change the diaper, give him the milk, or give him whatever it needs, helping them, your wife. That is also another hardship that you feel it. They say that, Ya Allah, please bless my parents. Ya Allah, give them jaza hasan, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, give them jannah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Because they did the same thing to me. So this is what the ayah is reminding us. وَاسْتَحْدِفُ ذُرِيَّتِي إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ نَتَقَبَّلْ عَنْهُمْ أَحْسَنْ مَا عَمِلُوا وَنَتَجَاوَعُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ فِي أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ وَعَدَ الصِّدْقِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْدُونَ. Allah said that those are the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept their good deeds, and Allah will forgive their sins to them because they are doing good deeds and they are asking Allah's forgiveness. And that is the real wa'd from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa'd al-sidq alladhi kanu ya'dun. So here we came to this ayah, which starts with it, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah said that, وَإِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ. Come back to Surah Al-Isra. The first ayah, Surah Al-Isra. Second ayah, Surah, which is Surah Al-Ahqaf, 15:16. But the one which is Surah Al-Isra, starts with, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. That's حكم of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah reminding us, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. When our parents are strong and young and small, يعني, we usually obey them, respect them, because we depend on them. But when they became old, and I became adult and independent, and I don't need them, now it turns. They need me. Not necessary financially. Because financially, especially people living here and have, mashallah, good jobs, they will need their parents, their children. But at that age, the parents need kindness. They need someone to be always close to them. Someone who always check on them. Because when we reach very old age, we become weak. Physically become weak. And that's why Allah decided that إِمَّا يُبْغَنَّ عَنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحْدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. When one of them or both reach that age of old age, كِبَر, كَبِير يعني, old. أَحَدُهُمَا, one or both of them. Allah, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنَارْهُمَا. أُف is expression that I don't like it. You didn't say. Sometimes you tell your son or daughter, do this or bring this and make like this. You didn't say anything, but you make this kind of off. Which means, I don't like it. I won't do it, but I don't like it. And Allah said, off before tanharhuma. Nahr is that to raise your voice. To raise your voice in objection. That is nahr. Okay? Your child, listen to me. That's I'm doing nahr to my child, okay? You cannot say that to your parents. Not nahr. You cannot even say uff to them. Allah said, وَلَا تَقُلْ لُهُمَا أُفِّ. Don't say uff to them. Because, again, that hurt their feeling. When say that uff, it hurt their feeling. And as we say that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said his ibadah, and next ibadah is being kind to our parents. So uff is a way that which we say that I don't like it, it's not good, or no fair. We say that no fair, okay? Very common here. Even small one, 2 years, we start speaking, say no fair. That's the same thing we did in America here, okay? Allah said, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Instead of that, even if you don't like something, say nice, speak nicely, respectful to your parents. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Kareem is generous, nice. قُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلْ is speech, a kalima, a word. We show that, ma'am, I appreciate what you're doing to me. I love you, dad and ma'am. We have to say that. And when we're growing up, in our culture, that was not a common thing, that to say your friends said, I love you, or you said, I love you. It was not the culture there. I mean that at least in our Arab countries. Okay? When I was in Sudan. Okay? But now, we know that Rasulullah said that. Al-Hasan wal-Husayn hibba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved still of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Hasan al-Husayn. Innum rihanata shabab ahli jannah. They are like rihan, beautiful of the beauty of Jannah is Hasan al-Husayn. And they are his grandchildren. One time was giving khutbah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hasan came running and he was wearing a long soap and then he was going to fall down. So they jumped from the member and go and carry the baby. He jumped from khutbah and picked a baby, his grandson, and said that they are zina, they are fitna to us. That's how he showed his love to his grandchildren. And then to Fatima, and to Ruqayya, and to Zainab, and to others, and his children, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we say to our children, we love you, and as we say to our parents, we love you also. That's important. Because at this you're expressing that something inside you. I know that you love your parents, but they have to hear it also from you. Thank you, Dad, for everything you gave to me. Thank you, Mom. I cannot... This is a very important word. When you say to your mom, it makes her feel good that you're appreciating what she did to you. And you have to say it. You have to say that, Mom, I love you. Yeah? Because we love them. We love them. And loving them is ibadah. To love your parents, it is ibadah, like worship, like salat. Why? Because I am obeying Allah, my khaliq. I am obeying Allah. Because He commanded me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be kind, to be respectful, to love my parents. Allah also, in other verse, He commanded us to be thankful to Him. And to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sign of Iman. to be thankful for those offenses, it is sound of iman. In Surah Luqman, ayah 14:15, Allah said that, وَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. Again, وَصِيَّة. وَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنْ أَشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرِ. أَنْ أَشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرِ. إِنَّكَ Allah said that, again, this command, because we're saying from Allah's command, when Allah makes wasiyah to us, this is far. It's not that if you don't do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, up to you. No. If your friend gives wasiyah, you have the choice. Your friend gives advice, you have the choice to accept or to reject. But from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't have choice. So it's not just as an advice. It is command. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind, so merciful. He put this word in a word that we should be lovely to us. Because when your friend advises you, that means he cares. I think you did this to be better, Ya Muhammad, or Ya Fatima, or Khadija. Yeah? This is the way that make it study this subject, or to finish the project. So that's someone who cares. And that's wasiyah. Because when he gives you, or she gives wasiyah, that's someone who cares. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. Again, we are giving wasiyah, command, advice, to insan, human being. وَالِدَيْهِ. And Allah said that, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنِ. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, we did the wasiyah to human being, we command them to be with his parents. And the next one said that, his mother carried him weakness over weakness. Wahid, that's something we're very tired. Okay? وَفِصَالُ فَعَمَيْنِ. Remember that I said 30 days, 30 months. He said, فِصَالُ فَعَمَيْنِ, that means the breastfeeding is about 2 years. Which child became independent and depending on himself or herself. Next Allah said, أَنْ أَشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Be thankful to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to your parents. أَنْ أَشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرِ. Your end will be back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why, if I disrespect my parents, no one see that, no one hear it, just my parents and me, Allah is watching us. Allah, He is watching me, and our masir, our end back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will judge us. And He is Qadir, He is powerful. He has Jannah, He has Nar, and as young man, I should remember that if I'm disrespectful to my parents, my children will do the same thing to me. May Allah protect us. That's another way. If I am disrespectful to my parents, remember that you're going to have children. Allah bless all of us with that. Then if your children become disrespectful to you, it hurt. It hurt. That's that إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرِ, your masir be to me. Allah then say that, even in case their parents are not Muslims, you have to be respectful to them, be kind to them. But وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَى أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِشَيْءٍ أَوْ وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَى أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If they command you, مُجَاهَدَة, that's jihad. They really, especially our Muslim boys and girls who became Muslim, where parents are Christian or Jew or others, it's not easy. It is not easy, it's very hard. But we advise them, don't cut the relation. That's my advice always. I said, be respectful to your parents, because when they say that, one day they will change. And I have many examples of that, many examples. When the child became Muslim, the parents were very upset, and they gave him the hard time. And they torture him or her. I always say, do sabr. Do sabr. One of them, our sister Ingrid, who is the friend of Islam now, when she became Muslim, they give her a hard time. I said, be kind to them. Be respectful. Visit them. Be with them always. And show them that you love them. And subhanAllah, now they love her and they love her children. Could they have seen the difference between her as Muslimah and other brothers and sisters? You can see that. And there's many examples like that. Many examples of those who became Muslims and they keep doing good to their parents, Allah changed their heart in the end. Some of them, Allah tells them that their parents became Muslim also. Some of them, Allah changed their parents' heart and they became Muslim because of their children. And now they have double reward, that he is a Muslim and his parents became Muslim also with him or her. So that's why Allah said, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ تُشْرِكْ بِشَيْئًا أَوْ تُشْرِكْ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمٍ. They asked me to do something which is not right. Do not bring beer for us or bring something for us. I said, no, I cannot do that. It's haram. Or why you're wearing hijab, it's not required. It is deen. So those are where we draw the line. But still Allah said that, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Be friend with them. Suhba. Sahib is a friend. Be with them in a proper, respectful, kind, and lovely way. Ma'rufan. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ. Again. Follow the path, the sabil of those who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anaba. Munib. Don't return. Munib. You don't return. Abdul Munib, they always return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be with those munibin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the end will judge between us and inform us what we are doing. Those are few things that which we have been commanded. What are the examples of that respective parents? Imam Qurtubi's tafsir, he said that when he's talking about this ayat, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ لَا تَعْبُدْ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ, he said, first of all, أخبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن بر الوالدين أفضل الأعمال بعد الصلاة التي هي أعظم دعائم الإسلام. رسول الله حديث بر الوالدين من أعظم الأعمال, بر الوالدين من أعظم الأعمال بعد الصلاة التي أعظم دعائم الإسلام. He said that to be kind to your parents is the greatest act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after Salat. And Salat is the key to distinguish between Muslim and Kafir. As-Salat al-Ahd al-Ladhi bayna baynahum. So Salat and be respectful, loving your parents are like this in reward. Thawab. That's why I say that Birr al-Walidain is act of Ibad, act of worship, just like Salat al-Siyam. Okay. Then Rasulullah and other hadith say that من البر بهما الإحسان إليهما ولا يتعرض لسبهما ولا يعقوهما. He said from bir also to be kind to them and not to abuse them or curse them or do something that they be cursed. So said the worst thing that a person curses his parents. They said, Ya Rasulullah, wouldn't want someone do that? How we understand of that? That's not a akhlaq of human being. He said, yes. He said, how is it? He said, a person may curse someone's parents, and they curse his parents. So you didn't do it directly, but you became the cause of that. But you do something bad, someone curse you, or curse your parents. That, again, we should avoid, even to do something which may bring that to our parents. عقوق الوالدين said that it is to disobey them, to disrespect them. And this is one of the major things that I've said in the hadith, okay. And that's why we should respect our parents in every act they command us, as long as that matter is not act of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, as Rasulullah said, hadith, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience to any makhluq in disobeying Allah Jalla Jalalu. Even our parents, if they command us to do something which is disobedient to Allah, they will say, no, I cannot do that, I'm sorry. Again, with all respect. With all, so to say that I cannot do that, because here it came two huquq, two rights. Allah's right and your parents' right. And Allah's right is the highest. Allah's right is the highest right next to our parents. So as long as that command is not disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should try our best to do that. We should try our best to do that. That is to be, not to be, يعني, to obey them. Who deserves more love and respect? We all know the hadith, right? You know, can tell me the hadith? Imran? Anyone? The hadith where Rasulullah said that pay respect to the parents, and he mentioned who first? No? Mother. How many times? Abrar? 3 times. And the fourth? He said your dad, okay? So here, so that many fuqaha say that mom, right, came above the father. And there's a reason for that. There is a reason for that. Yes, both of them here, I am because of them here. But the one who takes the most hardship in raising me is the mother. Yes, my dad is the provider. He's the one who gave me adab. He's the one who, يعني, if I didn't do good, give me the danda, right? That's my dad. But the mother always the one who is loving, caring, and take all the abuse from us. This is the mom. And if we remember that in Jahiliya, people used to, يعني, disrespect their parents. And unfortunately, it's happened today. We see in this society, when parents get old, what they put in? They're sick home. Okay? And they have, in May, what they have in May? You remember? Huh? No? Say it, right? Mother's Day, right? What's that? Jazakal khair, thank you. Okay? So May 11 is Mother's Day. Why? Because most cases, when they get old, they're not with them. They're in a nursing home. And they're so busy, they cannot even visit them. So at least once a year, they can send a nice card, mom, I love you, I miss you, mommy. And she's there, just 2 blocks from his home, in another city. That's why they created this Mother Day, then Father Day, a Secretary Day, Dog Day, a Cat Day. But to others, Muslims, every day when you walk up in the morning, say, Ya Allah, give my mother and my father jaza hasan ya rabbil alamin. In every salat, when I do my salat, I pray to my parents. رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيْنِ صَغِيرٌ. It's a dua. In every salat. So to me, I celebrate my mother day every day. My parents every day. Every salat. 5 times a day. Why? Because their haq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for social reasons. Not the Congress make a rule that you have Mother Day, but do every kids go to respect their parents? No. There's a story here, wallahi, even Muslim kids, I have seen it that they abuse their parents. They abuse their parents. It's happening, akhwan. So don't think that because I'm Muslim, I'm immune from this disease. It's happening to us, in our society, in our community. Parents came to me and they cried that their children abusing them, not respecting them, physically abusing them, it's happening. Not that they're old and put them in their home. This is the worst sin. This is the worst akhlaq of human being when they reach that kind of akhlaq. When this that kind of akhlaq that they abuse their own parents, what kind of human being are those people? And that's why we say, Alhamdulillah, that we are Muslims. Ya Rab, lak alhamd, that we are Muslims. Ya Allah, we are thankful to you that we are Muslim, and we are Muslims that we are learning our deen, we try to be close to Ya Rabbil Alameen. Because when you are a good Muslim, you become good to your parents. Because you know your haq, you know their rights. Not only my parents, my uncle, my auntie, and from the birth of your parents, Rasulullah said, from birth of your parents, to be respectful to them, to be respectful to their friends. Khadija radiallahu anha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, she was the dearest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when her friends come visit her, him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to be so happy. And he gave them gifts. And he put his soap for them to sit down on it. And Aisha gets jealous. I said, Allah gave you someone younger and more beautiful than that old lady. It's Aisha. She's a human being. This is human side of. الرسول said, والله عائشة, no. No one will fit her place at all. She is the one who support me. Allah blesses the children from her. He said, I wish I didn't say anything. I said, I wish if I would say that. Because he gave her more reason that why he loved Khadija and loved her friends and loved her sister. So that's another form to our, to be kind to your parents, to be respectful to your parents' friend. Reach them, do, and show them that you care, because when they see you, they remember your parents and say, may Allah have rahmah on your parents, especially when they pass away, they say that. And I go to Sudan, for example, I visit not only my aunties, my father's friends. By visiting them, that they feel good and they make dua to my father or my mother. So you are reaching your parents after their death. And that's why another form of being kind to them, this is the last thing of Sayyid Shafa'an, is to do sadaqah after they pass away. To do charity in their behalf. Whether masjid or madrasa or any good cause that you support, and say, Allah, this ajr go to my mom, to my dad, to my parents, both of them. And that another say that we do after their death. Inshallah, I'll stop here because I'm going to ask Brother Hussein to continue. And then inshallah we have what 1 hour for questions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, may Allah bless us, and may Allah make us among those who hear and follow what is right of Ameen. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rahmatullahi wa rahmeen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Can you do a little bit of rounding up in the back? You have too many of these refugees that have escaped from the quarters of the Tafsir Hall. So, they're all playing football outside. Alright, and then everyone can take like 2. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just grab those, all these like little kids, because they have the whole summer for football, but they only have 1 day for the seminar, so... Yeah, so and whoever can move up, move up, so then people, it'll be easier to fall in the back. And then I'll know who the deserters are. And you guys can take like 5 minutes just to like...
Stretch.
Yeah, stretch and stuff, because usually like... I know we planned a long session, an hour and a half is a lot for... Hour half has a lot for me to listen to anything, so...
That's right. It's 45 minutes.
Yeah, 45 minutes. Take a break for like, you know, 2-3 minutes, get clear of mind and stuff, and then we'll talk, we'll start, we'll let those other kids come in too.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم One time, I had gone to, in Chicago they have this one place, Little Caesars. You guys heard of Little Caesars Pizza? Right? So this is one place, it's close to Divan, it's owned by Muslims. So I went over there, and the non-Muslims go there too. So I was there, I placed our order for pizza, and we're waiting. It was like those $5 large pizzas, a great deal, right? So we're sitting there, waiting for our pizza to come, and I saw this one kid, he was talking to his mom. American kid, right? Maybe what, 10, 11 years old. And he was going off on her, "Mom, you're this, and Mom, you didn't get that," and he was just like really like pushing her this way and that way, this way and that way. So, yeah, he wasn't Muslim. I was like, man, that's totally messed up. So I just took that kid aside, right, non-Muslim. I said, "When you were small, didn't your mother feed you when you couldn't feed yourself?" So he became quiet. He's like, "Yeah." "Didn't she feed you when you couldn't feed yourself? Didn't she take care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Then should you be talking to her like that?" He's like, "No. No. You know, it's not a Muslim thing." It is a Muslim thing, for sure. But it's a human thing, right? It's a human thing. You gotta respect your parents. Now, you know, there's a lot of material that I have over here. There's no way we're gonna get enough chance to go through all of it. But one thing, and I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Sheikh Noor, he went through a lot of the, you know, material about how you should respect your parents. And I think everyone agrees that, yeah, we should respect our parents. One of the things that we don't get a chance to do a lot is sort of understand why parents, okay, think, you don't have to raise your hands, but think to yourself, have you ever thought that your parents are completely off the deep end? They don't know what's going on in the world, they don't understand you, they're really just off. Where did they come up with that? Why are they like that? You just feel a lot of conflict, right? Don't have to raise your hands. More than likely, most people, kids have felt like that. Right? And believe me, it wasn't very long ago when I was also like a young teenager living with my parents too. So I was just recently like a kid, and then now on my own, I'm a father, as you can see. No, it's different when you have kids. It's really different. It's really different. And, you know, like when I had to like get the lectures ready for, like, look, I'll just give you an example. When you're single and you have to give a lecture, then you don't have to like have like one like kids like on your shoulder while you're talking, and you don't have to get up at like 5 or 6 in the morning and try to finish your lectures before your kids get up, right? I got home like from work. I came straight to Isha like 9:45. Got home, I didn't take lunch, so I came home, had dinner like 10:30. And you try to get something done, and then like you, of course, like doped up in the morning, you want to sleep. Like, I'm human like anyone else, right? But then you can't, because, you know, you have things to do and you have to do it before your kids get up. And this is one example, right? I mean, every single day is full of examples. You ask your parents. Actually, you can't ask your parents because your parents don't even, they do a lot for you, but they never realize, I mean, we never realize it. And you begin to realize it when you have kids of your own. So, I want to spend a little bit of time just talking about, you know, helping us understand where parents come from, because there's not a lot of time to... So, trying to see where parents are coming from. Okay, parents, one thing that you need to understand about parents, why do parents do the things or say the things they do? Sometimes they seem completely off and they're completely against... Okay, this is not going to work too much. I'm going to have to get her milk. So I'm going to let Chef Noor complete what he's saying, and then we'll be back in 5 minutes. All right? Sorry, guys. are a good substitute for milk. Alright, so okay, where were we talking about? We're talking about where parents are coming from. Okay, believe it or not, your parents are also human beings, right? And they're not from a different planet, and they have brains, and they actually think things out the same way that you think things out, right? They're really just sort of like you, because, no, like, or you, or you, or you, or you. Just how, like, you're human beings. 10 years from now, can you tell me you guys are not going to be a little bit smarter than you are right now? Let me ask you, 5 years ago, compared to where you are now, when were you smarter? Now, right? You learn about life, become wiser, X, Y, and Z. Parents are the same way. They were kids just like you, just like you, like just like me, like 5 years ago, right? I'll tell you, there's so many things that change. When I was a teenager, first time I got the car to myself, I was immediately going 100, right, in a 40 or 50 zone, right? Then we're just waiting for the chance to get the car to, like, in our hands. And we would drive recklessly and race on Lakeshore Drive. You guys know Lakeshore Drive in Chicago? Like, in traffic, there's, like, full of cars. There's no reason. We're not in a hurry to get anywhere. We're just racing, right? We're going, like, 90 miles per hour on, like, a 40 zone, like, weaving in between the cars. Why would we do that, right? If my parents ever find out, right, oh my God, we were like, we freaked out. Now if you, like, and then we see all these other people driving, we're like, why are they driving like that, right, when they've been having such a great time? And, you know, it's not too long later, and now I'm driving like a grandma, right? Like, I would never think, I hardly think of driving, like, past, like, 80, you know, you just want to be safe because, you know, you're like, my kids are in the car, you become responsible. The fact of the matter is, when your parents tell you something, right, they tell you something because whether it's correct or not, they think that it's actually good for you, right? But you don't have to agree, but the reason, look, this girl is sitting here in my thing. You think I would ever in my life want to do something that's bad for her? I can't even imagine that in my mind. And it's not like because I'm a good parent and your parents are terrible parents. Everyone's parents are parents, right? Everyone, like, you know, like, you guys were all, like, this small sitting in your parents', like, lap at one point in your life, too. And the thing is that it's just that your parents, the reason that you get into, it's hard to get along with parents is many of the things they want you to do, you don't want to do, right? And there's one of two scenarios, right? One scenario is you're right, right? And they're wrong. Second scenario is they're right and you're wrong. I'll tell you, whether you believe it or not, probably 8 times to 10, they'll be right and you'll be wrong. You might not know it now, but you'll eventually know it. I'll give you an example. So they say, no, we want you to be home by 10 o'clock. You're like, what's the difference between 10 and 11 o'clock? Everyone's hanging, all their, all my friends can hang out till 11. How come I have to be home by 10? That makes no sense. And all of a sudden, it's a big ruckus. And your parents said, no, 10 o'clock. They're like, no, Mom, that's not totally not fair. I can't. I mean, everyone's going out till 11. I want to be out till 11. Back and forth, back and forth. And it's like, why don't my parents just get it? Everyone's going to think I'm such a loser. I have to be home by 10. Right? So you think your parents, like, totally don't understand. But you don't understand, like, where your parents are coming from is, for example, you know, that as you stay out later, the chance of you getting kidnapped, right, increases, right? So you're like, oh my God, what world are they living in? Who gets kidnapped? I'm not going to get kidnapped. One of the things you need to realize, right, is that, yeah, your chances of getting kidnapped are maybe 1 in 100,000, but for that one kid who gets kidnapped, it's 100%. Right? For that one kid who gets kidnapped, it's 100%. For that one girl that gets raped in every 1,000 girls, it's 100%. Your parents, I mean, can you imagine what would go through your parents' mind if anything like that happened? So you have to be super careful. I don't know if you guys have ever babysitted, right? But as soon as you get a kid to take care of, it's like you become like the most bossy, crazy thing on the earth. You're like, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, right? Because you know, like, when the parents come home, they're going to ask you, right? And you don't want anything to happen because you only have to watch a kid for, like, what, 2 or 3 hours? But if something happens in those 2 or 3 hours, you're responsible, right? So you have to, you like extra careful, you're extra sensitive, and you make many things which would conceivably be okay, you say, just don't do it. Parents are the same exact way, right? They're like, agar wo kare to kya ho jata? No, if you do this, then what will happen? If you do this, this will happen. You know, like, no, no, no. And sometimes they do the most irrational things, and they can't always explain it to you. I'll give you an example from my own life, right? This just came to mind. Like when I was like preparing this up. Like my son asked me for a $1 wing pop, right? You know those wing pops you get at those Walmart? So I said, no, Becky, you can't have that. Like, yeah, I really want it. Like, no, you can't have that. Now, why do you tell him no to have it? It's not like I can't afford a $1 ring pop, right? I'm carrying $10 in my wallet. What's the reason that I would say no? He's like, Dad, how come you never let me get anything? And then, I mean, he doesn't really say that. Alhamdulillah, but, you know, normally a kid can say that. He's like, why are you doing that? And they feel like they're so oppressive and you don't understand X, Y, and Z. But in the back of my mind, I know that when you get in the habit, like maybe I want to train his nafs. Meaning that every time you want something, you just don't get it right away, right? Delay of gratification. So that your nafs or your insides and your desires become sort of trained to an extent that whether you have it or you don't have it, you don't care. Because that's an important quality to have in life. You think I'm going to stand in the aisles in Walmart and say, you know, Abdullah, the reason that I'm not doing this is actually because I'm training your nafs. And once your nafs becomes trained, you will really be very thankful to me much later in your life. There's no way. He won't even understand if I explained it to him. Right? This kid is 6 years old. Right? Teenagers, same way. Right? Your parents say, oh, don't hang out. And, you know, they're changing, they're shaped by their own experiences because they were teenagers too. Right? And they've seen and they've seen people get messed up. So one of the reasons that they tell you not to do a lot of things that you do is because they're terribly afraid for you. Right? They're terribly afraid. And so they're hypersensitive. Now tell me, can you honestly blame them for being that afraid? It's easy for you guys, it's easy for us as kids to say, why don't you just back off? Why don't you just let go? But for them, if they let go and something happens, you're not the one who has to take care of it. Like, I'll give you an example. In my crazy driving habits, it's my parents who had to put in hundreds of dollars for my tickets, not me. Right? Yeah, it's easy to say, oh, it's only $100, it's only $200. But wait till you start working and start worrying about the bills and start worrying if you can make it month to month. Right? Then $100 hurts. Especially when you didn't have to, if I was just responsible, then they wouldn't have to pay it. Actually, it's only when I started, like, having my own family, you're on a budget, then you start, like, racking up, like, $500, that you could have, like, you know, like, oh man, I could have bought Abdullah new clothes. Oh, I could have bought them new shoes. And you're like, you know what, I just need to slow down. Right? Then you say, okay, then you become, quote unquote, responsible. You're becoming an adult. You're becoming mature. Right? But, you know, if I listen to my parents, they weren't really that off. 8 times to 10, your parents will actually be right, and you'll realize it later. It's happened already in our lives. You know, when you're 6 years old, or maybe you're 3 years old, it seems like a great idea to put your hands in the socket, because you can understand like what goes on in that socket. When you're 4 years old, it makes all the sense in the world to run after that ball that's rolling in the middle of the street. If I don't, my ball is going to get lost. My ball is going to get hit by the car. They don't think that I'm going to get hit by the car. The ball is going to get hit by the car. My ball will be gone. So you start going after it. Your parents say no. They're like, no, you don't understand. I'm going to have to go after my ball. Right? Right? And they say, well, there's no car coming. But they don't know. But you lived in the neighborhood for like 2 or 3 years, so you know that there's a blind corner on the street and the car can totally come and hit the kid. Right? So sometimes you just got to lay down the law. And that's why parents go ballistic about rules. They lay down rules, and they go ballistic when you don't follow them. Right? Fear factor. Number one. What was another? It's really many of the same thing like those kids. So you say, oh, that's when I was a kid. That doesn't apply when I'm a teenager, because now I know everything. Okay, my friends? When you're a teenager, or you're in your 20s, it really, really doesn't mean you know anything. Right? Or you know everything. I know, because I was 17 and you think you know everything and you're smarter than your parents. Your parents are stupid and you're smart because you can speak English, right? Well, if they grew up in this country, they can speak English better than you too, right? Many of your parents are physicians and much more educated than you are already, number one, right? And even if they weren't, they're much smarter than you are, right? And how do I know that? Because they've gone through things, many more things than you and I have, right? I'll give you an example. So a girl comes home, She's like, Dad, I really like this guy. Right? I want to get married to him. Parents say, no way. It's not happening. Right? The guy doesn't have a job. He's nothing, like nothing. He's just like a total, he just likes her and she likes him. She's like, I think we'll be so happy together. Like, she'll go crazy with her parents when they don't buy her the bag she wants. But when she comes to this guy, she's ready to live in complete poverty. Right? Anyway, so she says, Mom and Dad, I really want to get married. Right? And you say, okay, most parents won't think like this, but I'm just thinking, okay, you know what marriage is like. Have you ever been married? No. How many of your friends are married? None. So how much do you know about marriage? Nothing. But we're the ones who are crazy and you guys know everything, right? But we think like this. We think that we know and our parents don't. Well, they've been actually through marriage. You know, there's so many things. Before you start high school, right? How many of you guys are in high school?
Huh?
A lot of you guys, right? When you were in grade school and someone were to tell you about high school, right? Do you think a grade school kid ever understand what it means to be in high school until they go through it? There's no way. They're a sixth grader, man. They don't even know what life is like. Wait until they come to high school. Then they'll really know what life is like, right? They have the easy life, right? They don't have to go through the pressures and stresses of 9th grade and 10th grade. Senioritis. Senior grade. Oh my God. You know, senior year? They have no idea. They're just junior high kids. That's how we think. Parents are thinking the same way. Yeah, but they don't know anything. They haven't seen life. They haven't tasted life. They haven't gone through the difficulties. And there's some truth to that. When's the last time you had to worry about paying the bills? When's the last time you had to worry about the roof over your shoulders? When's the last, you guys just drive the cars. You ever think that, when I'm driving my Honda, honestly, I'm thinking, there's a recall in year 2001 on this engine, and I have to put $2,000 aside because the transmission might give out, and Abdullah might miss school. I mean, you're just thinking, two, 3 years down the line, right? You guys, when you're a kid, you don't have to worry about any of that. All you have to worry about, what am I going to wear today? I haven't finished my homework. Look, when you're a teenager or when you're a kid, you only have to worry about taking care of yourself. But your parents have to worry about taking care of themselves, their family, and all the kids. Right? It's a tough job. Right? So, if they're grouchy sometimes, that's why they're grouchy, because they're overworked. Right? Your parents tell us to take out the garbage one time a week. And it's like the biggest deal. Right? Like, oh my God, how come I have to do all the work in the house? But who's clean? Does your house magically clean itself? Do your clothes magically wash themselves? Do you think the food magically, shows up on the dinner table? Because, you snap your fingers and the genie is there? Someone's doing all that work. And when they do all that work, and then when they ask for some help, because they're doing 10 times as much work as you or I am, right? And then they ask for some help, and you're like, and then you do it, but you're like, whatever, right? How do you think it feels? It feels awful nasty. I can tell you, when I'm, I work 16-hour days sometimes, right? When I come home, right? And if you're sitting down and you're like, Abdullah, can you just pick that up? And he's like, I have to do all the work around. And then I come home and then I'm trying to pick up all the kids' toys and doing everything. You're like, Abdullah, can you put all the pencils away? And if he says, I'm not saying he does, but if he would be like, no, I'm tired, right? Then you're at the point where you're like, you know what? Don't even do it. I'll just do it myself. But it hurts, right? So then, when you're so overworked and you're so busy taking care of yourself and everyone else, then sometimes you get angry too easily. Because they're human too. They want the same things as you do. They want a nice home. They want time for themselves. They want time for their hobbies. They want time for leisure. Because they're human just the same way that you're human. So that's one thing to understand about parents. I have stuff all over the place. Okay, what else do parents want? Parents want to be listened to, right? Parents want, when they say something, there's an expectation that our kids are going to be listened, are going to listen. Imagine, you're the manager of the local Schnucks. So you go to a job every day, and you're like, yeah, can you stock the shelf? He's like, I don't feel like it. And you say, okay, clerk, can you wipe up this mess? They're like, I don't feel like it. You're like, this is a disaster, right? you feel like you're completely losing control, you can't take care of your employees, and then you're like, I need to have a big meeting, I need to call everyone, I mean, you're just going crazy, and don't you expect the manager would either fire the people, or they would shout them out? Most likely they would fire them. The problem with parents is they feel totally out of control when we don't listen to them, right? And so because they can't get in control, then they start doing stuff like, I'm giving you this punishment, or I'm shouting at you, or I'm start yelling at you, because they don't know any way to make you follow those rules or try to get you to get where they want to be other than that. Because they're at their wit's end. They're like, what else can I do? When I tell them nicely, they don't listen, right? I try to reason with them, they don't listen. So I have nothing else. I just got to yell at them. I got to take away things from them. So can you guys sort of see what's going on in their minds? Right? They're just, it's not like, and believe me, your parents really do love you. And the reason they love you is like, you know, they'll go into, there's so many things they do, man. Like, you never know. They'll go to your fridge, and they know you like cherries. And there's only like 2-3 cherries. Your parents like cherries too, right? But they're like, you know, maybe the kids will eat it. So they'll leave it in it for you, and they'll never let you know about it. I'm almost getting close to 30 now. When I go home now, right? If I go and surprise my mom, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and she didn't bring snacks, and she thinks, oh, maybe my kids will get up and eat snacks. So 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm like sound asleep, I'm like, I'm tired, whatever. She's worked the day before, she'll go out, she'll bring snacks, and she'll stock the thing, and she'll never let me know that she went and put it there at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's what moms do. That's what parents do. Now, if they do, like, and they're crazy, like, parents are, like, crazy. I know, like, when we had our first, you know, my wife would just sit and write in her notebook, I love Abdullah, I love Abdullah, I love Abdullah, I love Abdullah. She's like 100 times, right? So, I mean, parents are really, really crazy about their kids. I mean, my life, I put it completely on hold and I say, like, kids first, you know, what they want to do. And you try to do stuff like that. And then when you do that much for your kids, and you ask them something small like, or you tell them to do something and they don't listen, then it really hurts. You're like, man, right? Just whatever, right? Just, you don't even want to fight with them. You don't know how to feel because it hurts so much. It's like taking a knife and like stabbing it and then like, you know, like pulling it around. And it hurts in your heart. So parents, sometimes, what do they want from you, right? What do they want from you? It's not much. They just want you to be nice to them. They want you to listen to them. Even if they're wrong. Look, sometimes your parents are going to be wrong. They're human, right? So I'll give you an example of one place where parents are often wrong. So I went to med school, right? So we were very poor for a very long time, right? Alhamdulillah. And we were very happy. So, but when you go through those type of difficulties, sometimes parents start thinking, you know, we went through so many difficulties, we don't want our kids to go through those difficulties. So when it comes time for them to get married, they say, Mom, Dad, you know, I really like this girl, and they're like, is she a doctor? Mom, Dad, I really like this guy. How much does he make? Oh, he only makes 660,000. Oh, no, Bete, you don't get married to them. You're getting married to a doctor. Right? Because they think equate a lot of money, easy life. But the reason they're doing, shutting down the people, it's not like they don't care about your feelings. They're just like, we went through a tough time, we don't want our kids to go through a tough time. So they have a reasoning behind the thing that they might be making a poor decision if you ask me, right? But the fact of the matter is, it's not like made out of like pull out of a hat. You don't just like play Russian roulette and say that, oh, I'm making a decision. I'm making this random rule. Let's make this random rule to make my kids miserable today. What I'm going to do is X, and then I'm going to do Y, and I'm going to do Z, and I'm going to try to maximize their miserability for today, because I have nothing better to do with my time. Parents don't think like that, right? Parents just literally don't think like that. So what happens when push comes to shove? So I said, like, sometimes you're going to get along with sometimes your parents will say something that's good for you, right? If it's good for you and they're right, just listen to them. What's the big deal? Sometimes they're wrong. So what do you do when they're wrong? Give you the algorithm in this situation. Your parents are wrong, you're right. Right? As determined by an objective third party, not by what you think is right, which just oftentimes that's wrong. And I can tell you that because many things, if all of us married our high school crushes, we'd all be very miserable right now. Right? We all would be very miserable right now. If we all married our high school crushes. So our parents are good for something. But, say they're wrong. They're really wrong. Then what do you do? You know what you do? This is how you get along with your parents. And I know it's a tough bullet to bite. Just sip it. Look, at the end of the day, who's in charge? Your parents. Right? It's not like you're going to become like some like Indian movie hero story drama that you're going to abscond from your house and, you know, and work in some factory somewhere and have a happy... let's get realistic. No one's doing that in this room. Right? So the final phase then, what's the point of sitting there and arguing with them? Right? I'll tell you, sitting there and arguing there with your parents is not going to get you what you want. Right? You got to ease them up. Right? You got to butter them up. Right? You got to see when they're in a rush. Because they're human beings too. I'll tell you. So you want to go out with your friends. Friends say no. So you say, oh, mom, come on. Right? As soon as you start whining like that, it's like firewalls. You guys know firewalls? It's like firewalls. They're not listening to you after that. They're just like, no. And then you nag a little bit more. We said no. Why can't you understand no? No means no. Right? And then you're getting to a fight, and then you think your parents don't understand, etc., and everyone's unhappy. Right? Instead of doing that, you know what you do? You're like, oh, I can't go out with my friends. Okay, that's fine. Then you're like crying a little bit, right? You go to your room, you sit and sulk for a little while, and your parents are human too. Then they start thinking, is that too harsh on Abdullah? Was that too harsh on Fatima? They themselves will come to your room. They say, you know, I thought about it. Maybe you should just go out with your friends. Not such a big deal, right? You're like, yeah, right, you wish, right? But no, it happens sometimes because parents have a guilty conscience. You know, even when mothers are the type of people, you can take a rag and throw it on their face, and if they see you in tears, they'll come back with that same rag and wipe your tears. Right? That's the way mothers are. But, you know, you have to let that love come out. You have to play the love card. And when you're nagging and you're annoying, that love card is not coming out. They're like, these kids are crazy, right? Why can't they just listen? That's what's going through your parents' mind, right? So if you just sip it, be patient, sometimes you'll get what you want, and you know what? Sometimes you're not. But that's okay, because it's worth it. Because just think of everything that your parents have done for you. And really, not only your dunya, but your akhirah is dependent on your parents. Let me just tell you the real thing, right? This is a bitter truth, but when it comes down to it, your parents are two people that you don't want to mess with. Because when you're messing with your parents, you're messing with Allah. I'm telling you, seriously. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays the punishment for different sins. But when it comes to messing with your parents, He doesn't delay it. He gives it to you in this life. You will see it in this life. I'll give you an example. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear. Sometimes He doesn't make it very clear. Sometimes it's like, you're like in a dead-end job, and your life like terribly sucks, and you're like, why is it like this? And then you're like, oh, you're like, I was back to my parents, right? Or your wife gives you a terrible time, she's always nagging, you're like, well, why don't my kids ever listen, and they're driving me crazy? Why is it? Because you were like that to your parents at one point in time. I'll give you an example. There's this one person, I think it was an alim, and he saw one person, he dropped off an elderly man, and he got out of the car, he started abusing him, like going off on him, right? And he got in the car and he drove off. So he went and asked me, who was that? He's like, that's my son, you know, and he just left me here. And that person was like, are you serious? Right? So then he's like, let me go after him, I have to like set him straight. He said, no, just leave him. He's like, I did the same thing to my father when I was a kid, and I left him at this very spot. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it that clear. Right? That clear. When you mess with your parents, you are messing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm telling you, seriously. لا يدخل, like, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is asked about, you know, the kaba'ir, like the major sins. Right? Al-ishraku billah wuququl walidain aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cursed. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a very nice person. Let me tell you. Very nice person. He cursed the person. Cursed. La'an Allah on the person who is disobedient to their parents. Don't mess with your parents. It's just not worth it. Right? What's the worst that's going to happen? Oh, you can't go out with your friends? You know what? We invest so much on our friends when we're teenagers and kids that, oh, my friend's this, my friend's that, my friend's this. You know what? Your friends are going to change. None of those... I hardly have so many of the friends that I had when I were kids. I don't even know where they are in life. You know who's still there? My parents are still there. When I don't have a car, they're like, Vijay, we're going to buy you a car. When I don't have a house, they're like, we're going to pay for your house. None of my friends are there for me. Who's there for me? My parents. Right? Your friends will change. Your friends Friends will come and go. And at the end of the day, they are friends. You can change your friends. Can you change your parents? There's no like return, like refund policy on parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you your parents for a particular reason. So you just gotta accept it, right? Sometimes, yeah, it's hard. Because, you know why it's hard? Why it's hard to get along with your parents? Because you want something and your parents want something else. Isn't that all the conflict? You want to do X, Y, and Z, your parents say no. You want to do X, Y, and Z, or you want X, and your parents say no. And that's where all the conflict comes from. You know how that conflict will go away? You say, okay, Baba. Okay. Now, where's the conflict? Oh my God, magically you're getting along, right? I'll tell you, when you're a really well-behaved kid, like when my kids behave really good, they don't have to ask me to buy them toys. I feel like going to Toys R Us, like, they're like such beautiful kids, I want to go and ask them, right? Like, I want to go and buy them things. And then you ask them, like, what can you get? And they're like, no, don't worry about it, right? Then you're like, you love them even more. They're like, oh, my kids don't even want anything. And then you become like totally crazy about your kids. And then eventually, before you know it, they own you, right? Your kids own you. Because then they have to, like, make a pouty face. And you're like, oh, Vicky, what's wrong? Right? They're like, then you're just totally crazy about them because you really start loving them. The love that you have in your heart starts coming out. But if you don't, if you're always nagging, you're always arguing, you're not kind, you don't listen to them, you don't follow the rules, you're just not a really good kid, right? You don't do your homework, you're not responsible. Then you know what? As much love as your parents have for you, it doesn't get a chance to come out. So then they start being like, not so nice, and then you feel like parents aren't nice, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? So just, that's one thing. What else did I have to tell you? There's so much. And yeah, will you feel caged? Yeah, you'll feel caged, but it's better to be caged than to be messing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Because there's only so many lives, so many years you're going to live in this life, and then you have akhirah, man. Why are you guys so worried about it? What's the biggest deal? Okay, you missed the... Okay, I'll give you an example. You're going to a party, your parents say, oh, you have to wear shalwar kameez. You want to wear your suit, right? Your parents say, Bete, you know, there's all the religious people are coming. You know, you have to wear your hijab to that. You're like, Mom, I never wear hijab anyway. How come I have to wear hijab to this thing, right? And you're like, no, they're like, Bete, no. You have to do it, right? So what's the biggest deal in the end of the day? Is it going to make any, like, is it going to be like World War III if you end up wearing shoes that don't match or wearing shalwar kameez? Because the fact of the matter, the reason you want to wear a suit is to impress the other party anyway. Right, which you shouldn't be doing anyway. So most of the things that your parents are telling you are probably good for you anyway. But even if it wasn't good for you, what difference does it make? For the same people who are ready to stay up with you all night when you had fever and you couldn't take care of yourself, you can't just wear shoes that don't match? I mean, really, does it really make that big of a deal? Just think about what's important in life. Think about the big picture. Your friends, yeah, if they don't like you because your parents are X, Y, and Z, then do you even want friends like that? That's a question that you guys need to ask yourself, right? You put so much emphasis on people who your relationship with them is so fragile. And I know the reason why that is. Because, you know, we know to the back of our minds, we're never going to lose Mama and Baba. They'll always be happy with us. Don't be so sure. Let me just tell you one story. I'm going to end with this story. One time, there was a sahaba of Rasulullah ﷺ. He was dying. His name was Al-Qamah radiallahu ta'ala. He's about to die and he can't say the kalima. Imagine, about to die, can't say the kalima. Rasulullah ﷺ goes and finds out. Anyway, long story. He finds out that his mother is not happy with the son. Right? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if his mother is not, why is she not happy with him? She's not happy with him because she felt that he gave too much importance, he preferred his wife over her. And she felt that. So, but now he can't, this is a sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, much more pious than any other individual who's ever going to come. Right? Now what happens? He can't say kalima. And his Rasulullah says, just forgive him. His mother said, no, he's hurt me too much, I can't. Right? This is a Sahabi mother who's saying this too. Don't think that your parents are always going to be there for you. They're also human, they have emotions. You push them too far. You can push them too far. So then, Rasulullah says, he told Bilal, ya Bilal, go and get some firewood. Right? Just light a fire, we're going to burn him. His mother said, I can't take that. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, you know what? he told the mother, he said, the fire of Jahannam is أشد وأبقى, أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's more severe, and it's going to last a lot longer. He says, that's fine, I forgive him, right? He sent Bilal radiallahu anhu to go and listen to that Alqama radiallahu anhu. He went and listened to it from the outside, and he said, I hear La ilaha illallah. I hear La ilaha illallah. Yo, I'm telling you, don't listen to your parents, it's not worth it. When do you have to listen to them? When don't you have to listen to them? When it comes to your deen, just do what's right for your deen. So your parents say, no, you shouldn't do pray sunnah, you're becoming too Islamic. Okay, fine, none of those things, do the Islamic thing. But when it comes to those things which are permissible, right? So you want to get the red Civic, they say get the gray Civic. Get the gray Civic. Okay. Get the gray Civic. What difference does it make? Right? You're only driving it for so many years and you're going to get another car anyway. Right? But in that time, if your parents are happy with you, then really... that can be a big deal. That's make or break it. When Rasulullah said that, when the middle door of Jannah is your father. Right? If you want, just lose it. Waste it. You could be entering into Jannah. Waste it if you want. Or if you want, احفظه أو كما قال, take care of it. Right? So when your parents see something, first of all, the main thing I want you to go home with is this. Okay? Parents are not crazy. There's a reason why they do it. And the reason why they do the things, because they're super scared, number one. Number two, they're responsible, so they have to be mature. They can't think like kids. And number three is because they reason some things, and usually it's right. So when it comes to them being right, just listen to them when you're not, and even when they're not, just listen to them, and then hopefully we'll be able to get along with our parents. Now, I have to give a different lecture to your parents, right? How they should be nice to the kids, and listen to them, and let them do what they want. There's no parents here. I'm not talking to parents. I'm talking to you guys. If you guys want a happy life at home, then do what's in your side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of what's on the other side. And if we get a chance, they're listening how to raise spiritual children. Maybe they got like some advice on this thing. So anyway, I have a lot more to talk about like understanding parents, what things they don't like you to do, and all that. We're not going to go into that. Let's just talk some. I want to talk practical things. I mean, Sheikh Noor, please come up as well. But, you know, what's going on in your lives, talk about, like, parent issues, or I know in the previous session you guys wanted to talk about, I mean, it was about finding a spouse and stuff. Even if you guys have leftover questions about that, we can talk about that. We're just going to open it up for a question and answer. So, fire away.